ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So please chant along with me the Sanskrit with best, beginning with text number 36. Please chant along with me. Papam eva shreyed asman hat vaitan atatayana tasman narha vayang hantung dartharashtran sabhandavan Svajanang hi katang hatva sukina syama madhava. And if you'd like to do the translations with me as well, that's okay. Sin will overcome us if we slay such aggressors. Therefore, it is not proper for us to kill the sons of Dhritarashtra and our friends. What should we gain, O Krishna, husband of the goddess of fortune? And how could we be happy by killing our own kinsmen? So just to bring us up to speed, in this first chapter, Arjuna has requested Krishna to drive his chariot in the midst of both the armies. We're on text number 36. Which is significant in itself because Krishna is God and God has agreed to be his devotee's chauffeur, his chariot driver. Therefore, one of Krishna's innumerable names, Partha Sarathi. Can everyone say that name? Partha Sarathi. Thank you. So, in this particular section, Arjuna has been giving arguments to Krishna why he does not want to fight the battle. This Bhagavad Gita is spoken on the first day of an 18-day battle. And the Bhagavad Gita opened with Arjuna, after he told Krishna to drive his chariot, because Arjuna wanted to see who would fight. When Arjuna saw on the other side his fathers, uncles, grandfathers, teachers, friends, he became overwhelmed, frightened, confused, compassionate, bewildered, so many conflicting emotions. Now he is giving Krishna arguments why he does not think it prudent to fight this battle. He addresses Krishna by another one of his innumerable names, Madhava. Can you all say? Madhava means Krishna is the husband of the goddess of fortune, which can be taken in two ways. The original goddess of fortune, from whom all other goddesses of fortune emanate from, is Srimati Radharani. And Srimati Radharani is the eternal consort of Krishna. Or another way you could understand this, Radharani, like Krishna, has innumerable expansions. Krishna expands as Balaram, Narayan, and all the different personalities of Godhead in the spiritual world. And all the different avatars or incarnations are emanating from Krishna. These are technically called Svangsha, Svaangsha, Krishna's personal expansions. So, the consort of the goddess of fortune is Narayan. Narayan is simply an expansion of Krishna. So in that sense also. So let's one more time say the holy name Madhava. Now we go to text number 37. Let's chant this verse together. When you're ready, JD, good to see you. Thank you for coming. You got my note? Thank you. Because I won't have this class for another 3 or 4 weeks. So it's good that you came. All right, text 37. Yadyap yete napasyanti loboha patta cetasa kulakshaye kritang doshang mitre drohe, excuse me, mat mitra drohe chapatakam. Now on 38. Katang nagyeyam asmabi papad asman nivartitum kulakshaya kritang doshang parpashyadbir janardana. Please, along with me, you can recite out loud. O Janardan, although these men, their hearts overtaken by greed, see no fault in killing one family or quarreling with friends, why should we, who can see the crime in destroying a family, engage in these acts of sin? So he is addressing Krishna by yet another one of his names, Janardan. Everyone say? Janardan. This name of Krishna has different meanings. Sometimes you'll see the definition, killer of the demons. Another definition, maintainer of the people. Like that. So now, in verses 39 to 46, this is part two of Arjuna's arguments. So this is now Arjuna addressing the problem from yet a different angle of vision. When you are debating, when you are trying to convince someone, you make your case solid when you can present your argument from different angles of vision. That's what Krishna does throughout this Bhagavad Gita. Even though the conclusion is that Arjuna should surrender, Krishna presents his case, presenting different philosophies, different paths, and addressing the conclusion from different angles of vision. Let us now go to this next section. Please chant along with me. Kulakshaye pranashyanti kula dharma sanatana dharame nashte kulang kritsnam adharmo bibhavat yuta. The benefit of chanting Sanskrit is that it improves your consciousness and builds character. Sanskrit, by its very nature, is a reformatory language. So you make improvement in your consciousness just by reciting the different Sanskrit syllables. With the destruction of dynasty, the eternal family tradition is vanquished. And thus the rest of the family becomes involved in irreligion. Text 40. Adharma vibhavat Krishna pradishyanti kulakshtriya strishu dushta suvarshneya jayate varnasankara. When irreligion is prominent in the family, O Krishna, the women of the family become polluted, and from the degradation of womanhood, O descendant of Rishni, comes unwanted progeny. Keep in mind that in general, All of Arjuna's arguments are correct and valid. In general, in most situations, what Arjuna is saying here would be proper and very, very correct and laudable. Keep that in mind as we go through, and especially when we get to the next chapter. Text 41. Sankaro narakayaiva kuladnanang kulasyacha patanti pitaro yeshang luptapindo dakakriya. An increase in unwanted population certainly causes hellish life, both for the family and for those who destroy the family tradition. The ancestors of such corrupt families fall down because the performances for offering them food and water are entirely stopped. So this gives you a glimpse into how extensive the Vedic culture and how thorough Vedic culture had a scientific understanding of social life, that they were concerned for the ancestors and wanted to behave in such a way that even the ancestors were benefited by proper actions. Text 42. Doshar etai kulagnanang varna sankara karakai utsadyante jati dharma kula dharmascha shasvata. By the evil deeds of those who destroy the family tradition and thus give rise to unwanted children, all kinds of community projects and family welfare activities are devastated. So here's another glimpse into the Vedic culture tried to foster a good, peaceful human situation. And everything was scientifically done so that people could live very nicely in material existence. And in this verse, the word varna sankara. Varna sankara means a population which grows up with irresponsible tendencies. There is even a science for begetting children in the Vedic culture if you followed religious principles, especially at the time of conception and even before conception and after conception and after birth, you could scientifically produce a very nice, sane population. And the moment of conception was considered very critical or crucial, because the consciousness of the parents at the time of conception would indicate what kind of child would take birth from that conjugation or union. Now you can understand why our current society is so hellish, because people have been mating with hardly any religious culture and begetting children under the influence of intoxication, with great lust, and in very sinful consciousness. It's no doubt that the people being born are of a demoniac, lawless, kind of consciousness. It is because the laws of nature are not being followed by human society. Human society in this age of Kali, which began 5,000 years ago when Krishna left this planet, the age of Kali means that people are acting more and more like animals rather than highly cultured human beings. As Kali Yuga progresses, and we only pass 5,000 years, we have 427,000 more to go. Human society will become more and more degraded, more and more godless, more and more unrestricted, and little by little, human society will turn into a society of two-legged animals. These are described and predicted in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Everything happens little by little by little. Little by little, each generation is becoming less pious, less religious, less controlled, and as a result, human society becomes more and more demonic. Let us now go to text number 43. Utsanakula dharmanang manushyanang janardana. So there's that name again. Janardana. Narake niyatang vaso bhavati yinushushruma. O Krishna, maintainer of the people, I have heard by disciplic succession that those who destroy family traditions dwell always in hell. So, it is confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is hell. Shukadeva Goswami describes 28 different hells in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukadeva Goswami says, and there is also hell on this planet. And right now, you can go to certain parts of the world and you will be in hell. You just have to do a little research right now, certain places on this earth where the living condition for the people in general is like hell. Another point here, Arjuna says, I have heard by disciplic succession. There are different processes by which we gather knowledge. The Vedas instruct that getting knowledge by disciplic succession is the best method. The Western method is by sense perception. The Vedas say that is faulty. Why? Because a human being's senses are defective by nature. Therefore, any knowledge gathered strictly, solely by sense perception is bound to be faulty. But knowledge which is derived from a perfect source, that knowledge is nice. So, this Bhagavad Gita, why is this Bhagavad Gita perfect? Because it is given to us by God Himself. It's called Bhagavad Gita, God's rap song. God is a rapper, the original rapper. As you'll see, you can chant these verses in the same meter as a rapper would. Utsanakula dharmanang manushanang janardana. Yo, narake niyatang vaso. Babatit yunushushuma. Yes. So, Bhagavad Gita is perfect because the speaker is God Himself. Therefore, the knowledge is perfect. And that's why Arjuna's argument here, I heard through disciplic succession. That means Arjuna is presenting something with authority. Let's go to text number 44. Aho bata mahat papang kartung viyavasita vayang yadraja sukalobena hantung svajanam udyata. Alas, how strange it is that we are preparing to commit greatly sinful acts driven by the desire to enjoy royal happiness. We are intent on killing our own kinsmen. 45. Yadi mam apratikaram ashastrang shastrapanaya datarastra rane hanyus tanme shema charang bhavet. Better for me if the sons of Dhritarashtra, weapons in hand, were to kill me unarmed and unresisting on the battlefield. So this is the extent of Arjuna's arguments in chapter 1. And it would appear to a cultured human being, to a gentleman, Arjuna's arguments are very nicely presented, has very good sentiments, sounds like Arjuna is a very saintly person. We'll have to see what Krishna thinks. Final verse of this chapter. Sanjaya uvacha evam uktvarjuna sange ratopasta upavishat visridya sasharang chapang shoka sangvigna manasa. Sanjaya said, Arjuna, having thus spoken on the battlefield, cast aside his bow and arrows, and sat down on the chariot, his mind overwhelmed with grief. So, this picture here, right behind you, this picture is where we're going to pick up when we start chapter 2. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta translations to the first chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, in the matter of observing the armies on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So before we go to chapter 2, my student JD will accompany us and we will chant a very nice bhajan. Hold on. Hold on. I don't want this to conflict. Yes, check your tuning. Are you ready? Take it away. Pick up your weapon and fight.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Janna Vallava Girivarad Hari. Yasoda Nandana Rajajana Ranjana Jamuna Chira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallava Girivaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Chira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallava Girivaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Chira Vannachari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Very nice. Very good. Our Bhagavad Gita band. Very good. All right. Please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we have 59 devotees on the internet. So let's all say Hari Bol to all the devotees on the internet. Over here, everybody wave. Hari Bol. All right. So now we go to chapter 2. Chapter 2 is entitled Contents of the Gita Summarized. It has 72 verses. It's the second largest chapter. The other chapter, which has more, which is also a summary, is chapter 18. So the two summary chapters have the most verses. Verses 1 through 10, I entitle, How Arjuna Surrenders. So when you're ready, say Hari Bol. Let's do the Sanskrit together. Sanjaya Uvacha Tang Tata Kripaya Vishtam Ashrupurna Kulekshanam Vishidandam Idang Bhakyam Uvacha Madhusudana. Sanjaya said, so Sanjaya is the secretary of Dhritarashtra. This Bhagavad Gita opened with Dhritarashtra inquiring from his secretary in verse number 1, what is happening on the battlefield? Because Dhritarashtra is blind from birth and he is situated in a camp away from the battle. But his sons, headed by Duryodhan, is the opposing army against Arjuna. Dhritarashtra wants to know what's happening. Even though Sanjaya is sitting with him, Sanjaya, by mystic yogic powers, can see what is going on in the distance. He can see, and he is relating to Dhritarashtra everything that's taking place. So, throughout Bhagavad Gita, Sanjaya will speak, and he's relating what is happening with the conversation of Arjuna and Krishna to Dhritarashtra. Sanjaya said, seeing Arjuna full of compassion, his mind depressed, his eyes full of tears, Madhusudan, Krishna, spoke the following words. So yet another name of Krishna. Everyone say Madhusudan. So this name of Krishna, a long, long millions of years prior, Lord Brahma, the creator, was attacked by two demons, Madhu and Kaitab. So Krishna appeared in the form of the horse-headed incarnation, Hayagriva, and he killed these two demons, Madhu and Kaitava, and saved Lord Brahma. Therefore, Madhusudan, the enemy of the demon named Madhu. So now Krishna begins to speak. First chapter, the only thing Krishna said to Arjuna was, behold the armies. Because Arjuna said to Krishna, drive my chariot. Krishna took the chariot and said, behold. And when Arjuna saw then, what we read in chapter 1, Arjuna, as it says here, full of compassion, his mind depressed, his eyes full of tears. That's all because of what he saw and what he's feeling in chapter 1. Now Krishna speaks. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Kutastva Kajmalam Idang Vishame Samupastitam Anarya Jushtam Asvargyam Akirti Karam Arjuna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, so this is significant. This Bhagavad Gita is contained in the larger literary epic known as Mahabharata. The author of that book is another incarnation of Krishna known as Vyasadeva. The author, Vyasadeva, does not want the reader to become confused. Therefore, instead of saying, Krishna said, Vyasadeva says, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Supreme Personality said, the Supreme Authority said. That changes the whole context, because someone may think, oh, Krishna, he's just another person. So therefore, Vyasadeva says, Bhagavan, God is speaking, the topmost authority is speaking. Listen up, that's the context. My dear Arjuna, how have these impurities come upon you? They are not at all befitting a man who knows the value of life. They lead not to higher planets, but to infamy. Now, Arjuna and Krishna are contemporaries. They are friends. And together they have done wonderful exploits together. Arjuna helped Krishna get one of his wives, Kalindi. Krishna has done much for Arjuna. There has been a nice reciprocal relationship. They've been friends a long time. At this point, Krishna is a great grandfather. Krishna and Arjuna at this point are over 120 years old. So they've done a lot of things. But notice, Krishna, first thing he says to Arjuna, in chapter 1, Arjuna was doing all the talking. The first thing Krishna says to Arjuna, what is this? What are you saying? How have these impurities come upon you? Krishna is a little surprised at Arjuna's behavior. They are not at all befitting a man who knows the value of life. In the Sanskrit, anarya. In line number 3, you see that word anarya? The word Aryan, not to be confused with stupid Hitler's Aryan. He did not understand. He was an idiot. The word Aryan means a culture, a human culture, which has spiritual emancipation as its priority, not economic development. An Aryan race is a race of people whose main purpose in life is spiritual advancement. Krishna here is calling Arjuna an Aryan, someone who's not of that high caliber. Then he says, Arjuna, the way you're thinking, you're not going to become elevated. You're going to become infamous. You're going to get just the opposite of everything that you've been striving for throughout your whole life. You're going to become degraded. Let's go on. This next verse is even more harsh. Klaivyang masmagamaparata. Naitatvayupapadyate shudrang hridaya dar balyang tvakpotishta parandava. O son of Pritha, do not yield to this degrading impotence. That's the word klaibyam. Sometimes it's translated as eunuch. Right? If somebody is a big, powerful man, and then you say, you're a eunuch. What could be a worse thing to call? Right? If somebody is a big, big athlete and you say, you're a wimp. What do you think his reaction? Who are you talking to? So Krishna here is not saying nice things about his friend to his face. Do not yield to this degrading impotence. It does not become you. Give up such petty weakness of heart. So everything Arjuna said in chapter 1, Krishna is saying, this is all petty. Arise. Right now, look at the picture. Does he look, does Arjuna, he's the one sitting in the chariot. Does Arjuna look like he's ready to fight a war? Doesn't look like to me. Right? I've explained this situation many times. And my best explanation to help you get a glimpse of what's happening here. Supposing right now we were attacked. So you and you have cell phones, right? What would be the first thing you do? You will call 911, wouldn't you not? We would do our best to defend the temple, ourselves, the deities, but you two would immediately call 911. Am I right? All right. Let's say they actually show up, the police. Now, what would you think? We're here trying to fight off. We're being attacked, right? Lethal. People are trying to kill us. What would you think if the police came to the door and said, like Arjuna, now I am confused about my duty. I don't know. I'm getting my hand. What would you think of such policemen? We would be very angry, wouldn't we? We would sue LAPD, would we not? Who pays their salary? Are you a working man? You pay taxes? Do you not pay his salary? Same with you, right? I also pay, my wife pays taxes. So we pay that policeman's salary. We expect him to. And what does their police car say? What is their mantra? Serve and protect. Very good. What is your name, sir? Larry, thank you for coming to this class. Serve and protect. See, did they protect? No, they ran away. They got chicken. That's Arjuna. That's how Krishna is looking at Arjuna. Calling him eunuch. Do not degrade, yield to this degrading impotence. Give up such petty weakness of heart. Say the policemen came and they were hesitant to enter. But if their police captain came, hey, what are you guys doing? Get in there. In wartime, say you are an army troop. So in wartime, if somebody of the troop is not willing to go out and fight, sometimes they kill him because that person is actually a liability. Because when you have an army troop, you need everybody on the same page, ready to fight. Because when you're an army troop, say we're a troop, I need you to watch my back and I'll watch your back. That's how an army division works. You have to work as a team. So this is Krishna, how Krishna is seeing Arjuna. Do not give up such petty weakness of heart and arise. If you're going to fight, you don't fight like Arjuna. All right, I'm ready to fight. No. There's certain posture, certain demeanor. You get ready to fight. Say two boxers are in the ring, right? It's time for the big heavyweight champ, right? So if one guy's like this, what kind of fight is that? You want the, come on, let's go. Right? Football. This weekend there's going to be so many football games. Right? They're lined up. Boom! Right? But if one team is like, don't hurt me. What kind of football game is this? All right, let's go now. Arjuna's got more things to say. Text number 4. Arjuna vacha katang bhishma mahang sange dronang cha madhusudana ishubi pratiyotsyami Pujahav Arisudana. Arjuna said, O killer of enemies, O killer of Madhu, how can I counterattack with arrows in battle men like Bhishma and Drona who are worthy of my worship? More arguments from Arjuna. Next verse. Guru Nahatva Himahanubhavan Shreyo Bhoktung Baicham Apiha loke hat varta kamangs tu gurun ihaiva bunji yabhogan rudira pradigdan. It would be better to live in this world by begging than to live at the cost of the lives of great souls who are my teachers. Even though desiring worldly gain, they are superiors. If they are killed, everything we enjoy will be tainted with blood. Nachaita vidma kataran nagariyo yadva jayema yadivana jayeyu yaneva hatvana jijivishamas tevastita pramuke datarastra. Nor do we know which is better, conquering them or being conquered by them. This is called confusion. If we killed the sons of Dhritarashtra, we should not care to live. Yet they are now standing before us on the battlefield. So Arjuna is still perplexed, still confused. But now verse number 7. This is the turning point of the whole Bhagavad Gita. This verse number 7 opens the door. So this verse is very, very crucial. Karpanya dosho pahatta swabhava prichchami tvam dharma samudacheta yat sreyasya nishitam bruhitam me shishyaste hangshadimam tvam prapanam. Now I am confused about my duty and I've lost all composure because of miserly weakness. In this condition, I am asking you to tell me for certain what is best for me. Now I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. So this verse is the correct mood for approaching Krishna and learning Bhagavad Gita. This, as I said, is the turning point. So the first part of this verse, Arjuna is confessing, I'm confused about my duty. In the culture, the Aryan culture, duty was everything. From the time you are born to the time you die, there are duties to be performed. We see, even in the case of Maharaj Parikshit, when he was notified, you have 7 days to live. The first thing Parikshit Maharaj said, I have 7 days to live. What is my duty? Not, I have my bucket list. No. Parikshit Maharaj said, what is my duty? That is an Aryan civilization. Everything is determined by what is my duty now. There is no point in time in an Aryan civilization where there is no duty. It's 24/7, 365 throughout the whole life. What is my duty? Arjuna says, I'm confused and I've lost all my composure. Look at him. Yes, he's lost his composure. He admits he can understand that what Krishna said is true. He realizes, that's important. He realizes that he has this miserly weakness. The first step to getting out of illusion is to admit that you're in illusion. Anyone who has any experience with the Alcoholics Anonymous thing, that's their whole thing. You have to admit, first thing, publicly, I am an alcoholic. That's why I will create a society, Maya Anonymous. And in my group, everyone will have to say, yes, I am addicted to Maya. And then you can make progress. But who is the person that will not make progress? I know nothing wrong with me. I'm perfect. What are you talking about? All these things are that somebody else. Hey, man. Who do you think you're talking to? I'm Nirantara. That's Maya. The first step is to confess, to admit, I am in trouble. I need help. Then we can make progress. Now look at Arjuna. Now in this condition, I am asking you to tell me for certain what is best for me. In other words, and the word is used, right? Let's see if we can find the actual word. Well, shishya. Shishya means disciple. So it means he's accepting his friend Krishna as his guru. As soon as you use the word shishya, the other part of the relationship is guru. Guru and shishya. Teacher and student. So he wants, now they're friends, as I said earlier. They're lifelong friends. But now Arjuna is asking his friend, stop dealing with me as a friend. Now deal with me as my guru. Because when we're friends, we tend to overlook our friend's faults, right? But if you accept somebody as a guru, no more friend. Just like your doctor. You don't want, the doctor can be friendly, but more important, you want the doctor to be the doctor. It's like I have to go see a doctor on a regular basis. He likes me. He always jokes with me. He likes me. But when it comes times to tell me what I have to do and when I, then it's like, okay, now look, you got this problem, you got this, you got to do this. He does it nicely, but it becomes very firm. So that is a guru. Guru is not somebody who's just going to pat you on the head, oh, you're such a nice, no. The guru is going to get on your case and actually tell you, as Arjuna is saying, tell me for certain what is best for me. Now I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. That's what it means when you have a spiritual master. You are supposed to surrender. Here's my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. I surrendered to him in 1973. So that surrendering process means same thing as this verse. Every one of us should come to this point where just like Arjuna, we are saying to Krishna the same thing. Every one of us should get to this point. This is how you approach Bhagavad Gita in this mood. Now I am a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. That is the mood. The mood is one of submission and humility. That is how you make progress in studying Bhagavad Gita or any Vedic text. This mood is required. Otherwise, you won't progress in your knowledge. That mood must be there. Let's go on to next number 8.
Nahi prapashyami mama punudyad yachchokam uchchoshanam indriyanam avapya bhuma vasapatnam riddham rajyang suranam apichadipat.
I can find no means to drive away this grief which is drying up my senses. I will not be able to dispel it, even if I win a prosperous, unrivaled kingdom on earth with sovereignty like the demigods in heaven. So what this verse means is that Arjuna is in such a position that he does not see any material solution that is satisfactory. Any kind of material solution to Arjuna is unsatisfactory to him. And Bhagavad Gita, you will learn through Bhagavad Gita that the solution to all problems can be gotten through a spiritual solution. That's one of the things you will learn in Bhagavad Gita. Spiritual solutions to material perplexities. Let's continue to 9.
Sanjaya uvacha evang uktva rishikesham gudakesha parandhapa nayotsya iti govindam uktva tushning babuvaha.
Sanjaya said, having spoken thus, Arjuna, chastiser of enemies, told Krishna, Govinda, I shall not fight, and fell silent. Now he addresses Krishna in this verse by two names, Rishikesha, everyone say, and Govinda. So these two names of Krishna, Rishikesha means that Krishna, God, is the master of the senses, or the original proprietor of the senses, the owner of the senses. The actual person by whom your senses are meant to serve. His name, Rishikesha. Everyone say. It's two words, Rishika, Isha. Rishika means senses. Isha means Lord or master or controller. Then this other name, Govinda. Everyone say. Govinda is Krishna's original name. Govinda means that Krishna, God, gives pleasure to go. What is go? Go means the transcendental land of Vrindavan, which maybe I will visit next month. If Krishna blesses me, there is a rumor that I might be going to Vrindavan next month, if my sins are not too voluminous. Another meaning of go means cows. You'll always see picture of Krishna with cows. Krishna is known as Gopal. Everyone say, Gopal. He is a cowherd boy. Yes, God is a person and he likes to do things. What does God like to do? He likes to be a cowherd boy. He's a cool God. And then Govinda, go also means senses. God, Krishna, Govinda, gives pleasure to your purified or transcendentalized or spiritualized senses. So these are the three meanings of Govinda, confirmed by the consul. Everybody say, Govinda.
Tam uvacha rishikesha prahasyan iva bharata senayar ubayor madye vashidantam idang vacha.
O descendant of Bharat, at that time, Krishna, smiling in the midst of both the armies, spoke the following words to the grief-stricken Arjuna. So, I will be giving this class again in about 1 month's time. So, I hope to see you in a month. We will pick up from where we left off. If you're here on Sunday, I'm giving the Sunday feast lecture this Sunday. Thank you for attending. Anyone who would like to contact me, take one of my cards and visit my website or send me an email. Keep in touch. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you.